Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good. Thank you very much.
Okay, one more time. One more time. Hi, this is Joseph G. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, that's enough now. You'll embarrass me. Wait a minute. I think I have to get out of. I'm getting a feedback. Hey. You getting a feedback?
No, I've got all my speakers turned off here. All right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Oh, you were getting the feedback from you. Okay. Hi, this is Joseph G. with the good news of 12-step recovery. I'm getting a feedback for some reason. I guess maybe it's coming from mine.
Is it on your web page?
Yeah, but how else do I do that without being on the?
Are you on Skype?
Talk? Yeah. I've never done that before, though. If I go out, I have no control of the board.
But you can turn off your speaker.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Hi, this is Joseph G. with the good news of 12-step recovery. We're getting some bugs out here. We want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We're going to be doing step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Key word there is could. Before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge the Sober Couch Network, which we're a part of. Sober Couch is heard Saturday night at 9, which is now. Also on Wednesday nights at 9, and that's the Half Measures Room with Oliver. And 10 o'clock Thursday nights with Joe Ellen and Sarah. Really good show. That's 10 o'clock on the Sober Couch Network.
Right.
I want to thank recoverytoday.net. It's recoverytoday.net magazine. It's free on the web. Some good clinical and 12-step work. And two, and unless we forget, WNAH out of Nashville. WNAH out of Nashville, that's Hoyt and Tony the Horse, provides an hour of streaming live over their radio and into their streaming listening audience as a public service hour. So this way the folks out there are a little over an hour, maybe tonight, that will get some information on addiction and the ability to recover from that addiction. Also, my co-host, Harold, who comes in from, he's a marriage counselor for problem families and goes through this area trying to help families. I personally believe that the family is the central unit of society. As the family goes, so does our society. So he's doing a wonderful work, one family at a time. Anytime you think that you're going to change the world, it's either grandiose romanticism or politics. It really is just one person at a time. Harold, welcome.
Good evening. Thank you, Joseph. And I would just want to take a moment to say how much I appreciate your focus, which is working with others, the very, very important area of sponsorship and how one alcoholic can work with another and they both benefit. Really important and needed focus in our world of recovery today. And I'm also dedicated to that. And so we team up. Joseph puts together these programs and there's no cost. In fact, he spends his own hard-earned money to do it, and I appreciate that very much. One of my mottos is we only get to keep what we give away, and Joseph gives away a lot. And I'm honored to be on the program, and we'll talk about our experience, strength, and hope around step two tonight. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. Thank you for your acknowledgement and admonition. I know there'll be a reward for this work, but it's not here and it's not now. So, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step two should be hard on the heels of step one. Last week we went over how to find the sponsee, some of the beginning outline of getting a sponsee set up in the proper mental, spiritual, and emotional attitude to attack working the steps. That's the key. We love our meetings. Meetings are sexy. They're the fellowship. They're funny. It's a place where we feel safe and comfortable. But true recovery is in the 12 steps, not in the meetings. The meetings afford us a place to go out of the rain, out of the storm. But the real recovery, the long-lasting recovery, the meat of this program is working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever flavor of addiction you might find yourself. I've come to the understanding that the 12 steps is, in the Christian format, the repentance process for children, broken down into the simplest form to understand how these spiritual matters work. They work the same no matter what your religious affiliation or your non-religious affiliation is. It just is. And this is my experience. Now, some of the reading I suggest is for your sponsee is to read. Now, you've gotten all your paperwork back. You've gotten your Clancy 7 questions back. I suggest that they do the third step prayer to everyone on their newcomers packet, asking if they could share their the third step prayer with them. What I've discovered in my sojourn is that service is a spiritual concept. Dr. Bob said if you were going to describe AA in two words, it was love and service. Most, or if not all, spiritual concepts have a duality or a polarity to them. And the polarity to service is graciousness. The ability to allow someone to help you. If you're not able to do that, neither the giver nor the receiver can be edified by the process. So it's a twofold agreement. One is not more important than the other. They're equal in their abilities. So when the sponsee asks the person, if he gets permission to recite the third step prayer, the other person on the other side allows that, is gracious enough to allow to be helped. Harold?
Yes, it's very important to begin to understand that this is a spiritual progress, a spiritual path. And for me at first, that meant that really the spirit of the thing was to quit drinking, which was not comfortable, and to do some self-searching, which was not comfortable. And my sponsor was big on the writings of M. Scott Peck. Dr. Peck, his most famous book, I think the first big hit, was his book, The Road Less Traveled, which I really consumed and enjoyed. And in there, he makes it very clear that if we're going to make anything of ourselves, it has to be a process where we welcome the strange and different, that we're willing to be uncomfortable in order to grow. So I latched onto that, and that still really helps propel my spiritual life. I didn't really know much about God, but Dr. Peck talks a lot about the truth and how important the truth is. And I was listening. Actually, I've come full circle now, and I'm really delighted to study the Bible. And the scriptures I was looking at were focused on the fact that if you really sincerely seek the truth, you will find God just automatically. So that characterized my beginning in the 12 steps, a willingness to be uncomfortable in order to grow, and a willingness to welcome the strange and the different. So that is my experience, Joseph.
The third step prayer is found on page 63 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. So I have my sponsee called on his beginner's list, on his newcomer's packet list. There's usually a list of men. He can get it from, or go to the chairperson before the meeting starts, ask that a piece of paper be sent around, people who are interested, to give their numbers for that purpose. Many are, most are, some are not, but most are, and that they'd be willing to take phone calls. Usually the phone call they get is in case of an emergency, but I find this to be very edifying for both the giver and the receiver. They also have to call me for the first 90 days, every day, just to check in. You know, people are busy. If you get my answering machine and there's nothing really going, I just need you to acknowledge the fact that you're taking simple instruction. That's it. Some do on a regular basis. They're real good about it. Some do not. I try to encourage them to stay to that fact, but the bottom line is these are all suggestions. As long as they're putting in sufficient effort, I'll match the effort. So, and it goes along with Scott Peck when he said that we develop an intimacy during those 90 days of interaction of every day and working the steps. You're going to have some sponsees that you might not like the personality initially, and then you turn out to be really good friends. It's happened to me many, many times. Then you really like the person because of the intimacy. And he said, Scott Peck said, intimacy was the ability to share one's reality without fear of judgment or change. I really like that because most people's reality are different. I had a psychiatrist ask me one time, do you see things that other people don't see, or do you hear things that other people don't hear? And I said, doesn't everyone? And the psychiatrist said, well, I can work with you. So everyone in that sees the world in a different way. And I'm not there to judge what you see or change what you see. All I can do is relate what I see and what I hear. I suggest your sponsee the pages in the big book at this point now. So he's reading. He's got his third step prayer. Bring the big book to 12 and 12. Hamilton Beasley's sponsorship book, and a writing tablet, because he's going to do a lot of writing. I believe in writing is a key to a lot of the step work. Some sponsors don't use it. I think that's a big mistake. From what I understand, I haven't gotten confirmation with, but the General Services Office of AA has now put out some kind of concordance to the big book, where they take the whole big book and they break it down, or the 12 steps, something. I haven't really got into it in a more finite understanding. Have you heard anything about that, Harold?
No, I'd be really excited to see that. I believe in writing. It's very essential. When I work with others, I sign a lot of writing. and I think it's important. I agree. Joseph.
Thank you, Hal. And then the 12 and 12, I use the 12 and 12. I believe the 12 and 12 is essential. I consider the 12 and 12 a concordance to the big book. It's the experiences of the original 100 or so using the big book. So this is really important stuff in the 12 and 12. It kind of solidifies the thinking and the practices. If you look in the big book, the word sponsor does not appear in the big book. Other than chapter 7, working with others, which is a little different today than it was back then. Not too many people are going to the skid row. They're not going to the hospitals like they're coming in under their own steam, washed but not clean, seeking simple instruction, desperate for simple instruction. When this opportunity this golden opportunity walks through the doors, I will push and shove and help them find their seat so my own recovery becomes complete. It's sort of a different take on with the big book. The big book is getting the prospect, finding your man, and building the confidence. A little different today. You know, Bill W. said in his last address, AA will change. AA must change. Because if you find anything that's really of a higher spiritual note, it has like the Constitution of the United States, the Bible. It has a sense of being alive, that it conforms to the understanding of the time or the individual. Okay, now some of the questions. Now, you've read the 12 and 12. It's pages 25 to 33, step 2. Questions. I have some questions for you. What does the phrase power greater than ourselves mean? 2, as used in the step, what does the term sanity mean? And 3, why do you think the step says that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity rather than would restore us to sanity? In step 1, we surrendered and we were defeated. We admitted that our lives were unmanageable. With that surrender, we had no hope. We had mind-numbing fear. Fear is losing something you have or not getting something you want. To live in fear, you know what it means to be a slave. You like that, Harold?
Yes, I like that very much. The thought of it's so important for us to understand the connection between our addiction and the things that we think that we have lost, or the things that we see definitely that we have lost. Those losses are so important it's important to face the losses, to feel those losses, to be able to talk about the losses, write about the losses. That is really key. And so you've written, fear is losing something you have or not getting something that you want. Both are losses. There are small losses, big losses. That is really the key. Coming to grips with the losses that we've experienced. It's just essential. That's really great to see that there, Joseph.
Thank you, Harold. To live in fear, you know what it means to be a slave. I was with my granddaughter today, and she's fearful of her dad. I believe he's an untreated alcoholic. I know that, but that's not my place to say. And I think he's having marital woes, and nothing will bring out alcoholic behavior as trouble. And she was concerned because I'm not really supposed to buy her anything. On our little trips, we went to see King Tut today. She really loved it. And on the way back, I tried to explain to her about fear. Where there is no danger, there is no fear. And where there is no fear, there is no danger. And I think she got it. She's 7 years old. She's going to be quite the philosopher when I finish with her.
Yeah.
You don't have to fear anything, Harold.
That is just essential. And the most interesting correlation to this is all the tons and tons of anger management workshops that have gone on over the past 30, 40 years. And I don't think any of them really got down to the real core issue, which is fear of loss or fear and loss. And without that, they were just wasting their time. I mean, pounding and screaming does not reduce anger, it increases it, which increases the size of their wallets, but I don't even want to go there. But to learn the connections between danger, fear, loss, and all the other of life's problems is so practical and such a great idea. I'm glad you're teaching your seven-year-old something she can really use. I mean, even a child can use these principles, Joseph.
Thank you, Harold. Yeah, she smiled. I could see the glint in her eye. You know, this is like, it's kind of exciting to her to hear stuff like that, you know. And we go over it a couple times to really get it because it's simple, but they're profound. Anger is nothing more than fear in action. Fear can be as heady as whiskey once you've gotten a taste for it. Lack of power, that was our dilemma, but what we were to do now. I also thought depression is anger as with no enthusiasm.
Yes.
We give hope to the hopeless. That hope has to come from a power greater than ourselves. As alcoholics in recovery, we all had to find a higher power. For some, not very much higher, just high enough for government work. And for some, the master of the universe. In step two, we seek a power greater than ourselves that we could live with and could relieve us from the bondage of self.
You know, for me, this step was so important. By doing step one, it became clear to me that alcohol and other drugs were a power greater than myself. So I had that concept well in hand. And then it suddenly dawned on me that my spouse was a power greater than me. In fact, I had turned my life and my will over to that higher power. Not such a hot idea, but I didn't have that easy a time with the concept of God, and especially the God of the Bible. All I could think about were the Crusades and what a mess that was. But it also dawned on me that the group itself, two heads are better than one, the group itself was a power greater than me. And it helped, I think, that my first sponsor was 6'5", 295. He was a power greater than me. So, and he was a big book thumper, very, very strict, and stuck to the principles, not personalities. So we had a great time. I listened, and he taught me things. And so that made step two begin to make some sense. A power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. So he also added, Harold, make no decision alone. Make no decision alone. If you get an idea, run it past the group, one of the group members, and we will help you with that. So I had sense enough some of the time to do as I was told and that really began to make a difference. It was sort of, years later, I realized that part of step 11 is making a closer contact, conscious contact with God, and praying for knowledge of His will for us, and the power to carry that out. What I began to realize is that the group, that I could borrow the group's faith, that I could, by making no decision alone, checking in with people before I made even small decisions, that was helping me with step 11 later on. They're all related. So I might be getting a little ahead of myself, but at first my higher power was the group. Later, I realized that it's the group and it's God, and God expresses Himself through group members. That's all quite literally what the Bible teaches, and so it's all knitted together now in a wonderful quilt that keeps me out of the cold and away from addiction. Joseph.
The guest call-in is 760-825-0940. Again, 760-825-0940. If you have some experience with that or you'd like to express some ideas, please feel free. Let's see. Relieve us from the bondage of self. St. Francis of Assisi said that was one of the great gifts of God to the beloved, was the ability to relieve himself of self. In step two, we began our journey to seek a power greater than ourselves, a journey that will take us through the rest of the 12 steps and to a new life. This is the beginning of what we call a design for living. Step one is the only step that mentions the addictive substance, alcohol, whatever the flavor is. The other 11 steps are the solution, and we call that a design for living. We live in the solution, not in the problem. Sorry to say, a lot of folks never get into the solution, and they polish up their problem, and it's funny, it glints, and it's very common. But I'm not an AA policeman, so whatever works for them, it works for them. But I prefer to hear the solution. I want to hear this. I know what the problem looks like. Believe me, I know very well what it looks like. It is said in step two, we come to the rooms of AA. We come to, then we come, we came, then we came to. Out of the gray fog of fantasy, out of that drug and alcohol-induced fog, then we came to believe. So we came to, and then we came to believe that only a higher power could restore us to sanity. We come with all manner of religious experiences. Most come in the rooms disillusioned with their religious experience. For some had experienced a judging, distant, and punishing God. Fear and shame-based religions were not for us. We did not want to have anything to do with beliefs that resembled our past negative religious experience. As a matter of fact, we would run from it. We could, if we wanted to, believe in the traditional God of our fathers, or create our own understanding of a higher power. The 12 and 12 suggest that we could even take AA itself as its higher power. It only had to be higher than ourselves. Now, according to the dictionary, if you don't believe in the God of your fathers, you're a heathen. Did you know that, Harold?
Oh, yes. That's the word, heathen.
Which is a lot of people recoil from that thought, but here we're in a position right now that we have no place to recoil to. So we try to go along as best we can with what we could come out. The big book we read, we needed to ask ourselves that one sure question. Do I now believe, or I'm willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? If your sponsee can answer yes, I do, we tell them in the most strongest terms possible that they're on their way. You're on your way. Any positive acclamations to your sponsee gives hope. Keep it positive. Keep it directed. That's my experience. They come in, they're battered, they're beaten. Remember how you felt. Now they need somebody to show them the light. Open the door. You're on your way. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. But there's certain things you have to do. That's hope. That's what we sell in AA. When in the beginning, you used to find a prospect. That's a sales term. What we sell in AA is hope from a hopeless state of mind, body, and spirit. We give hope. And once you latch on to the hope, the door ever so slightly opens. The big book in the 12 and 12 called the power of God. We could have our own unique concept of a higher power as long as it was greater than ourselves. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. Religion was for people who didn't want to go to hell. Spirituality is for those who have already been there. Harold?
Yeah, that is most valuable to my early recovery, and I still like that. The statement that I remember is that the drinking alcohol, drinking too much alcohol, is a search for God at the wrong address.
Oh, I like that.
And so we come in, and most of us have really been through the ringer. And so they feel like they've had a taste of hell. And so we come in, and there's enough latitude and acceptance. The people told me, let us love you till you can love yourself. And that sounds simple. For me, it was not easy because I was pretty good at beating myself up. I would oscillate between having ego trips and having pity parties. One of the ways I would beat myself up is by drinking or drugging, and so I was pretty good at that. But they kept loving me until I could love myself, and it really made all the difference. The addiction, I just had to face the fact that my experience was I had a part of me that wanted me to suffer and die. This is a war. This is warfare. And the addiction wants me dead. God wants me to live and thrive. So I had to learn to tune in and turn from my old ways, have a willingness to see new ways. At one point, I borrowed my sponsor's faith. I really didn't have much faith. He did, so he said, well, here, borrow mine. And that was really a key element. It's hard to describe, but I knew he believed, and I knew his life had improved tremendously. And based on that, I kept doing the next right thing. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. The concept about the disease would kill us if we allowed it to. I'm going to direct you to the idea that I came up with, that the number one fear is speaking in public. It's more so than the death of the body, the death of a child, the loss of a job, the loss of a home, the loss of a marriage. And at first blush, talking in public doesn't seem like that big of a deal, does it?
And I would tell you that. Not to me, now that I've had practice, but it,
right.
It's just mind-boggling, Joseph.
And the reason why that is because ridicule is death to the ego. And the ego will sacrifice the body on the altar of pride in a vain attempt to stay alive. The preacher said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Our ego is insisting on running the show. And when we're trying to put away the drugs and the alcohol, our ego will have none of it because it thrives on that drug and alcohol because it's all about I. The humbling process that started in step one continues in step two. All we have to know about God is that we are not God. We no longer have to get our light from the fire of our own understanding. Why would we keep repeating the same behavior and somehow think things would be different? Having a couple of drinks just before an important job interview, just to steady our nerve, always insisting we could drive a car, a boat, or even a plane. When we are in a fantasy world, we believe we could do these things with impunity, regardless of past consequences to the contrary. Fantasy land is a lonely world. We have everything we want, but no one is admitted, not for any length of time. Step two puts us into the process of getting into reality. We can learn a new happiness and a new freedom, for some being truly alive. For some, that meant a freedom that was all but forgotten. Harold?
That's wonderful. And for our listeners, I hope somebody will call in and share their experience. Do you want to give the numbers again?
The guest call-in is 760-825-0940.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Well, I want everybody to know that some of these ideas that are being shared are directly out of the big book, out of the 12 and 12. These sentences are ones that we read all the time and we rely on for this radio program. They're out of the book. Joseph?
Can we arrange the restoration to sanity? Can we arrange it? No. It has to come from a higher power. We try with all things worldly. Can a better paying job, a prettier girlfriend, a new car, a bigger house? No, none of these things work. They do not have the power to restore us to sanity, although we try. Who or what has that power? Trying to describe God was like asking a fish to describe the water it swims in. God, as we understand God, does. Once we acknowledge the power, we can then align ourselves with that power. Could restore us to sanity. The word could. Could means that there are certain things we have to do. It's not automatic. We are saved by grace after all that we can do, not after all that we can talk, not after all that we can think, not even after all that we can pray, for faith without works is dead. The magic words in AA is action and more action. It's essential, and so is the work. We can get well, but there are certain things we have to do. We have to trust in the process of working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I keep the principles outlined in these steps and extend the hand of AA to the alcoholics who still suffers. Step two prepares us for that work ahead. Living life on life's terms. You can tell the size of your God by looking at the size of your worry list. The longer your list, the smaller your God. Harold?
Yes, one of my friends told me that instead of telling our God how big our problems are, we should be telling our problems how big our God is. Joseph?
I like that. Now, we have, I had gotten a letter from a lady about, from the 11th Step on Rum Radio. Oh, by the way, rumradio.org, this is a lot of this information from the big book, The 12 and 12, as Bill sees it, Joe and Charlie tapes, Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age, The Language of the Heart by Bill W., Drop the Rock. I use whatever I feel is pertinent to the subject inside program principles. I think that's a lot of people miss that sometimes. The big book is a great, the first 164 pages is sufficient to our needs, but it's not the only information that we have. We are not expected just to dig this out. You know, I kind of look at it like, you ever notice the Jewish ethic? They have the first five books of the Bible. They call it the Pentateuch. And they have whole libraries dedicated to the understanding of those first five books. Thousands and thousands of years, reams of papers and documents digging out these first five books. Like there's nothing else in creation that's come to an understanding of the outside of those first five books. And what you do when you put that much pressure on a small amount of information, you create a stumbling block. And when you use only one source of information, okay, it got you sober, it can get you sober, there's no problem with that. But there is other information, and the big book tells us not to discount other information. We don't have the corner on knowledge. It tells us to go to the look at religions when they have information that we can use. Open-mindedness is the key to long-term recovery. I believe that some of the things that we pass by where it could help another alcoholic is untenable. There's so much that can be used to help. There's clinicians that have some help. Everyone's different. You can't cookie cutter this thing. But what you can do is you can use your experience, strength, and hope and gather as much information as possible to help the other alcoholic. Matter of fact, in the I had a post from Dick B. about the urban legends, urban myths, legends, and the parroting of the AA police conference-approved literature. I called up the GSO to find out about that, and it turned out there's no such critter, basically. When we lost the copyright to the second edition of the big book, we also dropped the circle and triangle. Instead of the circle and triangle to show that the publication was being printed by Worldwide Services, they used the term conference-approved literature. Basically, anything, and it's the GSO's got its stamp on it, anything they feel that will help another alcoholic is welcome. Originally, the Bible, James Allen, Emmett Fox, any information that they felt was pertinent. The Bible was read at every meeting, but they wanted to expand it because they didn't want to make it a Christian fellowship. They wanted to make it larger than that. So, but if there's something in the Bible, there's a great passage out of the 23rd Proverb is about an alcoholic talking about the disease of alcoholism. It's a great read. I went to read it one time at a conference, and they got permission, and some people said no, they didn't want to hear it. So they dismiss the source because even, no matter how good the information was. I don't understand that kind of thinking. I think it's very shallow. Harold?
Well, I used to be that way. My mother taught that the Bible is just a translation of a translation of a translation, which is, by the way, not true. It's one of those myths. But we have so many scrolls from the beginning to compare, over 25,000 of the original manuscripts, so that they can piece together the entire 66 books. They can even, by careful study, recognize when one of the scribes had made an error, because they have so many copies to compare with that do show up any glitch. And there were glitches, of course. These were people writing on parchment with quill pens and so forth. So that now we don't, it's not a translation of a translation. We have the accurate stuff, 99.9%. But my mom taught that it was the translation of a translation, and look at the Crusades and what a mess. And then she would launch into her
irate
talking about the Catholic Church. She described herself as a recovering Catholic, and so she was really against the Bible as such. So, gosh, when your mom has those feelings that are that strong, it took me quite a while she passed away in 2001, and that kind of somehow that gave me permission to do some of my own independent research. You know, she's probably looking down saying,
if you
begin to study with somebody who actually had a large background in Greek, so that we can unlock the meaning of some of these phrases and sentences and idioms. The English really falls short on some of these scriptures. It really becomes much, much clearer when you understand the original Greek. And I'm just fascinated and consumed every day with my Bible study. And one of the things that came clearly to light as I began is that one, it will explain itself, and two, it says very clearly not to add anything or leave anything out. So with those things in mind, the things in the big book came right out of the scriptures. So it's really been fun reading it in that light, finding, as you just mentioned, the Proverbs, and there it is right there, the experience of alcoholism and what it does. And by the way, a little background in cultural anthropology reveals that the wine that they had in those days was very, very different. They had two kinds, strong drink and regular, and the regular was watered down like 8 to 1 on average. So it was an entirely different thing. And in the Bible where it says we're not to be drunkards, a person would have to sit and drink constantly, one drink after another, in order to really get drunk. And how they had time to drink between their visits to the toilet were that was amazing in itself. So my understanding of the scriptures and my use for them has totally done a 180, and I can't get enough now. It really is true that the scriptures come alive. It's the living word. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I think you need to remember, too, that when it says don't add or subtract words, the first time it mentions that's in, I think it's in Deuteronomy. It's in the Old Testament. It mentions it several times throughout the entire books of the Bible. So
yes.
A lot of people take it from Revelations, that if you add anything from Revelations. But if you go by that, by the word, if you didn't add anything from the Old Testament, you would have never had the New Testament. So the living word of God means that he's still talking. He didn't get quiet just because times have changed. I believe the big book is a, although not scripture, it is a spiritual work. See, I asked my church and other churches to this, if the 12 steps are not a gift from God, why have you adopted them? And if they are a gift from God, why do you feel compelled to change them? This is I was going to tell you about the fish's point of view. I got this letter back from on a Rum Radio post. A prayer, love meditation. Why are people insisting I pray on my knees? What's with the Lord's Prayer at the end of the meeting? The God of my understanding does not demand or really want these things. Yes, I am told I must. As a Buddhist, she had BEST, but I changed it for, I do not tell Catholics how to meditate. Why do they control how to pray? The only reference to knees in the big book is I dropped to my knees, a personal experience I was told Sister Ignatia suggested, our father, but she was not even an alcoholic. I love the fact that we find our own journey to a higher power, God, but why hold on to the Oxford Group value system? Did not work for Ebby. Can we please remember this is not a Christian program? We may all walk many roads. May you find God, and may you find him, her, it, now. I love everyone, so I want everyone to feel love. Please go in peace. She signed it Lars. And this is my response. I can understand your objection to the Christian format, as a very good friend of mine is also a Buddhist. I venerate and embrace the simplicity of the teachings of the Shakyamuni Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha. Sid by his friends. Getting down on one's knees is a sign of awe and reverence, an agreement of submission, surrender, and letting go of pride. It's about humility, acknowledging the spirit of the universe is greater than me, a form of body language and appreciation of the wonders of the infinite good that resides in me, while remaining teachable like a little child. The originators of the Big Book were called the James Gang because some understandings of the Big Book came from the book of James. As I tried to explain to my buddy, for good or for ill, America is a Christian-based culture. The ultimate demise of the Oxford Group was about exclusivity and embracing outside issues, the political hot potato, the temperance movement. I am sure you have noticed we started the meetings with a prayer, an invocation, and then we close with a prayer, a benediction, and all meetings of recovery are gratitude meeting, regardless of the topic spin. An attitude of gratitude is a prayer unto God. I personally object to prayers recited and wrote. For that matter, we can use a prayer wheel and photocopies. I believe that the Our Father is a template to a prayer that God preferred to hear your heart and not just a scripted dialogue. As Bill observed and was confirmed to me in a meeting last evening, the AA is a spiritual kindergarten. What God is or isn't is beyond my purview of understanding, as any attempt to describe God would be like asking a fish to describe the water it swims in. A friend in early recovery related his experience in a meeting once upon a time. David said he was speaking to God as one man talks to another in an animated ongoing conversation. He paused and reflected that it was not really talking to God, that he was just talking to himself. And then he said he heard a still small voice that said, I am you, but you are not me. Love and service is our goal, while love and tolerance of others is our code. I would suggest not embracing the differences, for we are one in purpose, to stay sober and help the next sufferer. We now have the extraordinary opportunity to be the hands of God, as you understand hands. See you on the radio.
Yeah. That's great.
I've heard somebody say one time that God was like an underground river that could be accessed by many wells. And you know, Harold, and that's enough to get you started. This is spiritual kindergarten. A lot of people forget that. We don't ask you to do anything. I'm a Christian. Jesus is my higher power, and I'm good with that. I love that. Perfect. I sponsor guys that don't understand that or know that or care to know that. And that makes no difference to me. If they don't know who to address their prayer to, I suggest for the time being do it to whom it may concern. That's sufficient to get you started. You know, you can't really give them meat right now. You got to give them milk, like children. If you try to give them meat, they'll perish. They're not going to be able to swallow it. They'll choke. So this isn't the time for that.
I certainly would have perished if that was the only approach that was allowed or taught. But I was given milk, and I agree totally. It's a spiritual program, but we have it's spiritual kindergarten. So I appreciate that reminder and really, really welcome that. Well, we're down to 5 minutes, 4 minutes on the hour. How do you want to wrap us up tonight? Do we have time to
finish? Yeah, I think we have a little bit more time. Living on life's terms. You can tell the size. Okay, we did that. No matter how good things get, things will change. We begin to accept reality. We don't drink no matter what. We concede to a power greater than ourselves and know as we acknowledge our God, all things will work for our growth and our good. We learn to live in acceptance. According to the AA Big Book, step two is completed when we are adventures before and after had convinced us of three pertinent ideas. We were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. That no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, and three, that God could and would if he were sought. Ask your sponsee, do they believe that a power greater than themselves can relieve your addiction and restore you to sanity? If they can answer in the affirmative, they have formally taken step two. I think it's good to remember, Harold, is that Bill W. had a spiritual experience, which was pronounced and immediate, short-term. The world lit up, literally and figuratively. It was like on a mountain, filled with the Spirit. Dr. Bob, a Christian man, went to church all the time, read the Bible, the Big Book, had Jesus in his life, couldn't stay sober. He had a spiritual awakening. You know what the difference of the two is?
Well, the second type is a gradual awakening, more and more.
My experience is that no matter how big that spiritual experience is initially, it will not hold you long term, unless you back it up with the spiritual awakening, line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And staying into action. I know a lot of old-timers that relied on that spiritual experience they had 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And you know what happened? They went out. They failed to expand their spiritual experience. And it's the awakening is what's the key in Alcoholics Anonymous, in my experience. You got to grow, kiddo. And if you want to grow, you're going to be uncomfortable. Get used to it. Extend yourself. That's how it works. If you want to trudge the road, trudging is to walk with purpose and to walk shoulder to shoulder, the road to happy destiny. So, Harold, do you have anything else to wind us up?
Well, I really value that. That is my definition of love, which I borrowed from Scott Peck, the willingness to extend yourself for the spiritual benefit of another, which then actually benefits you in return. So thanks for a great program tonight. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Scott Peck also had mentioned that the definition of love, and I love it, it's encouraging the beloved to increase their spiritual growth and thus increasing your own.
Yes.
I just want to say at Rum Radio, we're averaging probably about 300 hits a day. We're in 101 foreign countries, plus foreign countries, including Mississippi. We've had 64,000 hits to the site. So take a look at the website. You're going to get a lot out of it. There's no money being made. We're anonymous according to the 11th tradition. I believe this work, God's got his hand in this work, and it's going to have the ability to help many. And it's not about me, because I'm really nobody special, but God's given me an opportunity to be of maximum service. As we grow spiritually, we grow in effectiveness. All right, Harold, so I guess I'll see you on the radio, and thanks for listening.
You bet. Thank you, Joseph. Good night, everybody.
Good night.